couple of weeks ago now, this building was similarly filled whenever Eden Primary School held its annual nativity play. The children taking part in that play was a modern take on the nativity. I was watching one little boy, don't know his name, but I was watching one little boy, and he didn't just say his words, but whenever it came for him to take part in the little nativity play, he expressed himself as he said his words. And it was lovely to watch him because he had such enthusiasm, he had such effect as he said his words. And it really, to me, was just a highlight of the play, watching him and the enjoyment that he got from what he said. And there is a sense, as we come to John chapter 1, this passage that Shanna read for us earlier in the service, that what we find here is God expressing himself in the sending of his Son into this world. Because without the coming of the Son of God, how could we know there is a God? Without the coming of the Son of God into the world, how could we know what God might say to us? Without the coming of the Son of God into the world, how could we know anything about ourselves and our need to be saved? The text begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." We're going right back into Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." It's like the Spirit of God is like a bird over a nest hovering. And as that Spirit hovers, there is a creative force, there's a powerful force. And out of it comes life and the creation of the universe. But here in John chapter 1, we have also the awareness brought before us that it's just not God and the Spirit, the Son, the Word, is part of this divine Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the coming of the Son into this world, we have the ultimate expression of who God is. And John here, as he writes under the inspiration of God's Spirit, is giving us a glimpse of what life was like before there was a world, before there was a universe, when the only life that there was God life. God existing, one and yet more than one, for the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then God began to express himself. He had done so through the prophets of the Old Testament, but then there was a fulfillment coming, a fullness coming, and he sent a man called John that Ross read from Isaiah chapter 40 earlier. And John was like a town crier. John was standing in the wilderness telling people that light was on the way. Being in the dark about God is about to come to an end. God is sending a light. And though John himself was not the light, John says, "I'm a signpost to the light. I'm pointing to him. I'm a forerunner. I'm preparing the way." And here in John chapter 1 and verse 14, we're told that the Word that was with God, the Word that was God, that Word that existed in all eternity with God the Father and God the Spirit, that Word took to himself humanity. Divinity and humanity in one and the same person. A bit like in a marriage, two people come together, a man and a woman, and it's one marriage, but it's two people. In Jesus, we have divinity and humanity in one person, but two natures. Truly human and truly divine at one and the same time. And Jesus came, as I've said in previous weeks, to show us the secret that there is a God. And if you want to know who God is, you look to Jesus. He is the one who unveils for us. He is the one who reveals to us the being and the work of God. He is God's revelation, God's light for our darkness. In him, the secret is now open. This is what he is like. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The question is, what do we do with him? It's one thing to have information, but what do we do with that information? Well, we're told here also in John chapter 1, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. They blanked him, in other words. They knew the Messiah was coming. They knew John did a powerful preparation work in the desert. But from the moment Jesus was born, there was no room for them in the inn. It continued in Nazareth when they tried to throw him off a cliff after his first sermon. In John 10, they picked up stones to stone him to death. And eventually they crucified him between two thieves on a cross outside the city wall of Jerusalem, expelling him from the city. They wanted nothing to do with him. Has it changed very much nowadays? Do we not live in a world that is a Christ-rejecting world? You and I probably grew up with what we know as BC and AD. BC is before Christ. AD is Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. But academics at universities have for the last number of years been changing these things to BCE and CE. The C doesn't stand for Christ. It stands for common. Before the common era and the common era. Because we don't want to mention Christ, you see, in case we offend people. And they have removed the word Christ, and that is a process that is gathering speed. And you may have even seen it in different ways or heard it in different programs on television. Same with people wishing each other not Happy Christmas, but Happy Holidays. Same as people in workplaces not allowed to wear crosses, but it's okay for Sikhs to wear turbans and Muslims to wear headscarves. The rejection of Jesus Christ is still very with us, very much with us to this day. So he came to his own, and his own received him not. But the flip side of the coin is that not all rejected him, verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born not of blood, nor of the flesh, or of the will of man, but born of God. I heard a lovely advertisement the other day. You know the way at this time of year people think about doing new things. And it was an advertisement for people who are wanting to learn a new language. And the person speaking in the advertisement said that, remember how you learned your language that you grew up with. You didn't read it in a textbook. You didn't watch videos to learn it. Your mother, your father taught you words slowly, small words, gradually getting bigger and longer sentences. You started with cat, sat, mat. Your mother corrected you if you put them in the wrong place. And then, as I say, the sentences got longer and longer. But the point the advertisement was making was that learning is personal. It's face-to-face with a tutor. And through that, we personally and slowly build up a new language. How do we learn God? We learn God through the personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. We don't learn God through religion. We learn God, we find God, we know God through the personal meeting with Jesus Christ. To those who received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And the person in the dark hearing, he is, that Jesus is the light of God. They turn to him and say, Lord, I'm in the dark, I want to know. Lord, I'm blind, I want to see. Lord, I'm deaf, I want to hear. Lord, I'm a cripple. My life is crippled. I want to walk. The cry of the heart that turns to Jesus Christ. You probably know the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wonder, have you ever put your name into that verse? For God so loved Mary Jones. For God so loved John Smith that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Could I encourage you tonight to put your name into that verse, to personalize that verse, and to pray that God would become personal to you, that you might know him, because the scripture says here, no one has ever seen God, but the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. We come to know God through personal encounter with Christ. And when we put our name into that verse, then we must believe that God so loved the world, that God so loved me, even me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. As I close tonight, the secret really is out that there is a God. If you want to know, I've said this last week, if you want to know there is a God, look at the life of Jesus Christ. How else do you explain it? But we must stop rejecting him, and we must receive him to personalize this salvation as we take it into ourselves, turning from rebellion and receiving the one who is the very grace of God. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Let's pray. God of grace, we